What's up, everybody? How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Excited to be in church today? Hey, I just want to piggyback on what everyone's been talking about. First off, welcome to Student Takeover. We hope that you're enjoying it. We're thankful that you're allowing us to kind of hijack the service a little bit and just be a part. We have so many students that are just so gifted, and God has just really placed amazing potential and giftings in them, and we love watching that just kind of come to life. And it's just a joy. It's one of the joys of my job, and so I love doing it. I want to let you know that, like Jude and Dimitri were saying just a moment ago, we'll be at Evo in San Marcos tonight at 6 o'clock. School starts tomorrow, so we just want to have a little bit of fun. So we want all of our middle school and high school students that want to come hang. $7 a student will get you like an hour and a half of bowling, an hour of unlimited arcade games, pizza, drinks, all that stuff, so it's an amazing deal. Also, I want to talk to all of our adults. If you're a parent, guardian, or an adult of a student, next Sunday during the 10 o'clock service, we'll be having an adult meeting for all of our guardians and stuff for our students. And so if you want information on what the fall is going to look like, we're going to just lay out the whole fall, the upcoming events, kind of our layout for the fall and all that stuff. So you can come check out our parent meeting. That's next Sunday during the 10 a.m. service in our theater. And a little breakfast will be provided too. So a little incentive for all of you parents that want some breakfast. Come hang with us. That'd be great. Our team will also be there. Can we give it up for our team, our student leader team? They're so amazing. I tell you, man, we have had the privilege of being able to produce some pretty cool services for our students with the worship team. A lot of the people on the worship team you saw this morning, but also just our student leaders, they do so much. They set up, they cook, they, you know, clean, they minister, they lead small groups, they walk, they do life with the students of Promised Land. And we have just seen so much health and growth in our students because of amazing student leaders. And so I'm just so thankful for you all. And I wanted to say that publicly. And I love all of you guys. Hey, I want to jump into the word this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 6. So I'm going to just dive right in. If you have your Bible, take it out, open it up. John chapter 6. I'm reading out of the NLT. If you don't, that's okay. We'll have it up on the screen here. But I just want to speak a word. All right. The Bible's talking back this morning. All good. I wanted to speak a word. Hey, I know that we're entering into a season right now in the fall. For the fall, if you don't know, for a youth pastor, it's like the beginning of the year, okay? My year starts in August, okay? Your year starts in January, not mine. Everything for us kicks off in August. And regardless of who you are or what you do, you are affected by the fall. Either you are a student who's going back to school. Maybe you're going from middle school to high school, or elementary to middle school, or high school to college. You know, I don't know. Maybe you're a parent, and that means that leaving your kids at home all summer has come to an end, and now you got to wake them up early, get them dressed, get them to school. Maybe you are a teacher, and that means preparing a classroom and getting ready to teach a bunch of students who have literally just been laying around the house all summer long. Come on, we feel your pain. Maybe you're none of those, but you just live in San Marcos and realize that it's going to take you 10 more minutes to get to work than it has been all summer long. No, just me? Okay. But regardless of where you are, the summer brings change. And we are living in a climate today, not only weather-wise, it's been insanely hot, but a political climate, a health climate, all of that, that is just... It's just never been done before. We've never had a season like this. And we're all learning. We're all adjusting. And we're all trying to grow. We are also all called to be leaders as believers in Jesus. God has called us to have influence and to make disciples. And what that means is to share his love and his passion for people in every setting, whether we are in kindergarten, high school, college, adults, in the workplace, wherever. It is something that God has spoken to us. I don't know why, but I just feel so pressed right now to just dive into that. There's an importance in what God is wanting to do, and maybe I'm speaking to my students right now, but I want us to get the understanding that church is so much more than just a place that we go on Sunday mornings. I need us to look at church and our relationship with God through the lens and the filter and the perspective that there is a real, living, breathing, moving God who created the heavens and the earth, who has all power and all authority, that we get to come and have a relationship with, that he'll move in our life, that he'll do something incredible, that he'll answer our prayers, he'll mend our broken hearts, he'll get rid of our anger, he'll heal us from our scars and our wounds, and we don't need to take that lightly. Yeah, and maybe two people get it, but I'm going to say it. It is, and the time is so crazy. You know, like Pastor was praying for the persecuted church, and I read this thing on social media that is talking about the amount of people that lives are in jeopardy or on the line, and they're going to lose their life because they won't renounce God. They won't give up their faith. You know, and I think it's something that we can learn from a young age, that the life of faith and the life of Christ, though summer camps are so much fun, it's so much more than that. It's so much more pizza than pizza or hanging out. It is an opportunity for us to be world shakers and world changers, to do something amazing, to watch God move through you because he has blessed you and given you a purpose and given you life. There's power in the word of God. There's power in the name of Jesus. It's not something to be taken lightly or play around with. It's not something for a bumper sticker or a patch on our Letterman jacket. Blood was spilt for so much more. And let's just jump into John 6. Let's have a good time this morning. John 6, verse 1. I love this story. It's a story about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And if you've been in church or part of church at all, I'm sure you've heard or at least referenced, okay, Jesus feeding the 5,000. And I want to look at it really quick. It says, after this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went, because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. Verse 4, it was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to him. Turning to Philip, Jesus asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. He was testing Philip, for he already knew. Can I just tab side note right here? Anytime Jesus asks you a question, Jesus is not looking for the answer, okay? Jesus, I don't know if you know this, not only knows the answer, but he is the answer, okay? So if Jesus is asking you a question, it's like when your parent asks you, "Hey, did you turn in that assignment?" And they already talked to your teacher earlier that day and know there's a zero in the grade book already. And you're like, I think I did. Knowing that you had no idea that you actually turned in that assignment. Okay, that's what it's like when Jesus asks a question, okay? He already knows the answer to the question. And so can I speak to not only students this morning, but adults too, and let you know that if Jesus is asking you questions in life right now, maybe you should start listening to your own answers, because the question is not for him. More so, maybe the question is for you. Come on, and somebody said amen. I'm going to bring it right to you this morning. Just right. I'm going to lay it at your feet. 7, Philip replied, "Even if we work for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Even if we work for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd?" Verse 10, "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. When you hear the story, Jesus feeding the 5,000, it's important to know that they were only counting men in this setting. So the number of total people there far exceeded 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks to God and distributed them to the people. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish. And they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, somebody say full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that there's nothing wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten the 5 barley loaves. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet that we've all been expecting." This morning, for the next few minutes, I want to speak to you. I don't really have a title for my message, but I just want to speak to you. Is that cool? Let me pray for you really quick, and mostly myself. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for everything that you're doing, speaking, who you are, what you mean. God, we just give you this time. We give you our hearts. We give you our attention. Help us to focus on you, Lord. Help us to just push everything towards you and focus on you. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do what only you can do, and that's reveal more to Jesus to us than ever before. In Jesus' name, and everybody says amen. Amen. Hey, well, I tell you what, I was reading this story and it made me think of part of my life. For those of you who don't know, I got married in December 2019, okay? I married my now wife, we can clap for that. I think I've announced it before. That's not like breaking news, but it is leading into the reason that, yeah, whatever. But thank you, Jacques. You're like the best, man. Okay, so and so we got married in December. We took a honeymoon. It was like a week and a half, right? We had a great time. Then we came back to work for like 2 days, and then we had 2 weeks off for Christmas break. So we had like a really extended honeymoon, okay? Then, to our surprise, something called COVID-19 decided to break out. And so we came back to work after Christmas break for like a month and a half, and then we were quarantined together, just my wife and I, who I'd never lived with up until this point, for months. I don't know how long, but it felt like, I mean, it's still happening. So, but we were quarantined for, I don't know, however long people were quarantined, like 8 weeks or whatever. And so I quickly learned that I had a lot to learn, okay, when it came to living with my wife, all right? And what happened was, one of the things that happened for me was when we got married, I had a cousin who gave me like a custom-built PC. Like, he took all computer parts, ordered them, built this computer, bought a monitor and a keyboard, all this. And he's like, "I want to give this to you because I live out of town, and one way that we can kind of hang out is we can play video games online, like on a PC." And I was like, cool. I never really played video games before in the past. Occasionally I would like play some Madden or some football, but I didn't know much about video games. But what better time than during a global pandemic to start just going hard on some video games, right? And so I played the first day. And immediately I was like hooked. I was like, this is awesome. Like, I know I've never been in war, but I've played Call of Duty. No, I'm just kidding. That's nothing like, and like, I just was like playing and playing. And before this, I'd never played video games. And my wife knew that I never played video games. And I think one of the things that she kind of liked about me was the fact that I never played video games. But I pulled the old bait and switch, all right? So I got her to love me, and then I completely changed everything about myself. And so I play like day one, day two, week two, week three. Like, I'm like every day she's like, "It's time for bed." I'm like, "Go to bed. I'll be there or not. I don't know. I'm focused, right? Like, I'm trying to unlock some things here." And I start playing, and I remember one day I'd like played till like 5 a.m. and like she didn't know that I was like gonna play that late. I didn't even really know, but you know, when in Rome. And she wakes up the next day and she's like, "Did you play till 5 a.m? I was like, "You know, I don't know. What is time? We're quarantining, right? Like, I don't serve a God of time. All right, God's outside time." And she's like, "Are you going to play video games every day?" And I was like, "Is that an option? Because kind of, yeah, like, if it's cool with you, like, it's cool with me, right?" And, like, as I answer, she, like, turns away, goes into our room, closes the door, and locks it. Okay, here's point one of my message today. If they ever lock the door, start praying, okay? Because that is not a good thing, all right? Look, going to the room is one thing. Closing the door is another. If the door locks, you in trouble, player, okay? Like, I don't have a message for you on that one. But the door locked, right? So I go up to the door, and I'm like, "Whoa, the door's locked." I was like, "Hey, babe, like, what's wrong? The door's locked." Right? I don't know. I've never been married before, right? Maybe she's changing. I have no idea what's going on. "Babe, you know, like, what's going on?" And finally, I get in the room. She lets me in. I'm like, "You know, what's wrong, babe? Like, what's wrong? Like, I can tell you're not your peppy self. Like, is everything okay? What's wrong?" And she says, "Nothing." Point two, if they ever say nothing is wrong, everything is wrong, okay? From now on, just switch that out in your vocabulary. If they say nothing, it means everything, okay? Everything was wrong. And I could not figure out why is everything wrong? Why? And I knew that she wasn't just mad for no reason. No one's ever mad for no reason, right? I knew that there had to be more to the story. There had to be something more to what was actually going on. And I'm reminded of that as I read John chapter 6, because so many times we focus on the great miracle that Jesus did, but it was at the hands of a young boy. And today, what I want to press into is not really the miracle that Jesus did. I want to look at the fact that I think there's more to the story. There's more to the story. And really, there's a second co-star in this story. And this co-star is barely mentioned. We're not even given a name. We're given a gender and a vague age of our co-star. Everybody knows Jesus. He makes everybody sit down, and he takes this bread and this fish, and he begins to multiply it, and he's feeding thousands and thousands of people. He's a rock star. He's signing babies and I don't know whatever else rock stars do. But what we tend to look over from time to time is where that fish and loaves even came from. I think there's more to the story, and I look at this story, and I want us to learn from our second co-star, the little boy, whose name we don't even know. The only thing I do know about this little boy is that he was a chubby kid, okay? That's all I know. How do I know that? Well, for one, I was a chubby kid and real recognized real, all right? The reason I know he was a chubby kid is because only a chubby kid thinks, hey, I need to pack my lunch before I go see Jesus today, okay? Now, only chubby, those are chubby thoughts, all right? And I'm like a real chubby kid. I've been chubby since I was little, okay? I was not one of these as I got older, I got more chubby. I've been breathing hard upstairs way before COVID ever got into the picture, okay? Woo! I've been wearing adult pants since like I was 6 years old. I'm not joking. These probably exact pants would have fit me at 6 years old. I am not joking. I had to roll my pants up like 14 times because they were big enough on the waist but too long on the leg. Anybody else? Just me? All right, I'm preaching to myself this morning. I was number one at getting seconds. Anyone else? Anyone else first at getting seconds? That was me. Real recognized real. This kid, he was a chubby kid. I could tell. How else can I tell? Because a normal kid would be good with probably a fish sandwich. Homeboy needed 5 loaves, okay? That's different pain right there. That's different hungry, all right? That's a different type of hungry right there. And I could just see how it went for him that morning, all right? My students can probably relate to waking up and his mom said, boy, get on up. You need to wake up. We're going to be late. I said, Mom, where are we going? He said, we're going to go see Jesus. She said, see Jesus? I wanted to sleep in today. Nope, we're going to see Jesus. All right, let's go see Jesus. So he gets up and he's trying to decide what shoes to put on. He doesn't know. Should I go with my sandals with the one strap? Sandals that just go over the big toes. I'm assuming they just had a lot of sandals back then. I don't really know. And he goes, Mom, how far? Where are we going? She goes, we're going to go see Jesus at the Sea of Galilee. He says, Sea of Galilee? He goes, that's far. Did we get like a new camel or a donkey? How are we getting there? And she said, boy, be quiet. We're going to walk, okay? He said, you going to walk. I ain't going up. You get slapped, right? Like, okay. He said, don't talk back to your parents. All right, that's the moral of this story. And he says, that's far. I ain't going all the way that way. That's too far. She said, boy, put on the shoes with 2 straps. We're going on a journey. So he goes and he puts on the shoes with 2 straps. And while he's putting his shoes on, he's lacing up his sandals. And he's thinking in his head, man, that's going to be like half a day walk over there. And I'm sure we're going to be there for a while. And then that's like half a day walk. And his wheels start turning. And I hear him go, Mom, what are we going to eat? And she goes, what? He goes, we're going to walk half a day to go see Jesus. And it's Jesus, so I'm assuming he's going to preach for like a long time. And then we got to walk all the way back. You know me, I can't go more than a couple hours without eating some food. So what are we going to eat? And she goes, I have no idea what we're going to eat. He goes, what do you mean you have no idea what we're going to eat? You have 2 jobs as my parent, and both of them are like feeding me. Okay, so you're pretty much failing as a parent. What are we going to eat? All right. And she goes, I don't know. We'll figure it out as we go. Okay, as chubby kids, let me tell you, we don't buy it that we'll figure it out as we go. Okay. We need plans. We need our meals planned on a schedule on time. And we need good hot meals, okay? Cold meals don't work for chubby kids, okay? We need some hot meals. She didn't have that plan. So he said, Mom, I forgot something in my room. I got to go get my notebook and I got to go get my Bible because I'm sure Jesus is going to preach a good message and I want to take notes. Go ahead, start walking. I'll catch up to you. So the mom leaves out the front door. Little boy turns around, goes back, and instead of taking a right to go to his bedroom, he takes a left to the kitchen, right? He opens up the kitchen and he sees he's got 5 packs of Hawaiian sweet rolls. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And he could just take one. That's all he needed. No, he takes all 5. He turns. He opens the fridge. He sees the leftover catfish from Clear Springs. Come on, somebody. He says, I got to take this too. He puts it in his lunch sack and he takes off. He runs. They finally get to Jesus. Jesus preaches all day. He's tired. He's like, been preaching. And it's like, and you know, Jesus, I'm sure he preached good, but I'm like, Jesus, we got to eat, like lunch break, right? Like, whoo. Jesus finishes preaching. He's going on his way, and the little boy's like, perfect. Here's my opportunity. He sits down. He pulls out his little lunch sack. He pulls out all 5 loaves of bread, pulls out his fried catfish, and he makes his sandwich, puts a little tartar sauce on there, he's ready to take a bite. He's about to take this bite. And as he does, Andrew, the disciple Andrew, has the audacity to rip this food out of this little boy's hands. Now, let me translate for you who weren't chubby kids, them some fighting actions, okay? I'm sure he goes, boy, what you doing? I know you're close to Jesus and you finna need a healing. You better give me my food back, right? Woo, don't mess with his food. And I can see him the whole way. He's like swinging. He's like, the kid's got his like hand like that. And he's like swinging, trying to get, they take the food to Jesus. And he's like, Mr. Jesus, sir, I know you're important, but please don't mess with my food, okay? Please don't mess with my food. And Jesus kind of ignores him. He's gracious. And Jesus begins to break the loaves and break the fish. And I'm sure with every break, the little boy's heart breaks as well. And he begins to distribute it. And the little boy's noticing that 1 person, 2, 50, 100, 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 people are being fed. And I can just see him saying, hey, where's mine? That's mine. I packed that for me. I packed that for me. And this miracle's happening. But could we use our exegetical imagination for a second and wonder the mindset of this little boy? Hey, that was mine. What am I going to eat? I don't know the heart or the mind of this child, but what I do know is there's some things about what he chose to do that morning when he woke up that we can learn from in our own life. The first thing is he had a self-awareness of who he was. He knew he was going to get hungry. What he did is he anticipated his hunger. I think something that we can learn from this young boy is that we need to live our lives with anticipation. What are you anticipating? Does your relationship with God consist of anticipation? And if so, what are you anticipating? What are you anticipating for this school year? What are you anticipating about your child? What are you anticipating about your students, your classroom? What are you anticipating? Are you anticipating more hopelessness? Are you anticipating that nothing's going to change, that people still aren't going to like you? Are you anticipating that those relationships will remain broken? Are you anticipating more hurt, more fear, more doubt? Or are you anticipating that God can do something in your life? Are you anticipating that you are a child of God? And that means that strongholds can be broken down. That means that you can go into the school year looking at it different than you ever have before. Are you anticipating God to be in you and you to be in him and you to shake, rattle, and roll some things in your campuses? What are you anticipating? Are you anticipating it's going to be another year of late nights and struggle with your student trying to do homework and trying to get grades turned in? Are you anticipating God to move so mightily in their life because what is happening at Promised Land High, that it is a new student, a new school year, that they're going to excel, that they're going to do better than they've ever done before, that God's going to bless them, that they're going to be leaders, that they're going to stand up and stand out, that they're going to make an impact in their friends group and on their campuses? What are you anticipating? When you're laying down and you put your head on your pillow at night and you're thinking about your week, your month, or the semester, are you anticipating something amazing to happen in your life, or is it just going to be same old, same old? Do you anticipate? Do you prepare? Do you look forward to what God's going to do? The little boy anticipated his hunger. And so what he did is he chose to pack a lunch. People who anticipate and live with anticipation do number 2, preparation. Anticipation, preparation. He began to pack his lunch. My second question to you is, are you preparing for what you're believing God to do in your life? And if so, how? Are you moving things around? Are you making new things? Are you quitting old things? Are you stopping the same old stinking thinking that you had from the past? Are you believing in your prayer time that you want life in an area, but your mouth and your tongue speak death over it? How are you preparing? What are you shifting about your mentality? What are you shifting about your vision? What are you shifting about your relationship with God, about your relationship with your spouse, about your relationship with your child, with your relationship with your parents? What are you changing? What are you making? Are you making better decisions? Are you making your lunch every morning? Are you making yourself get up and be ready? Are you preparing for what you're believing God to do? See, what this is really speaking to is God has given you a plan and a purpose. God has given it to you. He's imparted it in you. Every single person in this room, God has imparted it. It says that when he created you in your mother's womb, he knows what he placed inside of you. Now, the anticipation of that is vision. See, we need to grab a vision of what God wants to do in you and through you. And I know probably what you're thinking, Pastor Emilio, you're starting to use real churchy words that I only hear pastors and preachers and leaders talk about. No. Vision is not just for pastors and preachers. Vision is for you. God has given you a vision. God has given you a vision for your life, for your family, for your influence, for what he has called you to do, what he created you and placed you on this earth for. It is on purpose, not on accident. And if you've never heard that, let me be the first to tell you. But we have too many people living without anticipation of what God is going to do in their life because they've never grabbed a vision of who he is to them. I want to raise up young people and people in general who have a clear vision of their relationship with God, what God wants to do, why you were born. There's people in here and God has called you to be amazing small group leaders. He's called you to be amazing host and hospitality. He's called you to lead movements. He's called you to pull people out of dysfunction. He's called you to help people stop being drug addicts. He's called you to pull prostitutes out of prostitution. He's called you to help people who are orphans no longer be orphans. He's called you to assist widows. He's called you to be a light in a dark place. But if you don't anticipate God doing anything in your life, you'll never begin to prepare for what he's going to do. Can you grab a vision? Can we anticipate and prepare? Because what happens after the young boy anticipated what God was going to do and began to prepare for it, he finds himself sitting there about to eat his lunch, yet God takes it from him and begins to bless it and give it to everyone. See, he didn't realize it at the time, but what he did is he created a foundation. Anticipation, preparation equal foundation. There was a foundation now for God to do something amazing. I believe that as believers and as leaders, as we begin to grow and develop and do the things God has called us to do, and we anticipate the goodness of God, and we prepare for the move of God, we will subsequently build a foundation for God to move in our life. Are you working on building that foundation? What does that foundation look like? Are you packing your lunch? I'm not talking literally, I'm talking spiritually. Do we wake up every day and pack our lunch? Students, are you packing your lunch? Sometimes it's tough to wake up early and pack your lunch because we lose 30 minutes of sleep. But the reason that sometimes we choose to hit the snooze, that was not an intentional rhyme. But the reason that we choose to hit the snooze rather than wake up and pack our lunch is because we don't have a clear vision of who our lunch impacts. But when you can know and when you can grab the vision that your lunch is not just for you, but it's for so many others, it's so much easier to wake up and pack that lunch every morning. Do you hear me, church? Your Devo, your prayer time, your Bible reading, it's not just for you. When God speaks to you, it's not for you. When God blesses your foundation, you know what has to come after that? The Bible says that he began to feed over 5,000 people. Anticipation, preparation, foundation, it all leads to multiplication. Multiplication. This little boy had no idea. He was just packing his lunch because he was hungry. He had no idea it was going to impact over 5,000 people that day. Come on, I got some teachers in here, and I know that you've been praying for your 32 students that you're going to have direct contact with and that you're going to love and that you're going to teach. But you see 32 students, God sees a campus of 5,000 just being turned over for the glory of God. Come on, students, I know that you're praying for the two friends that you go to Chick-fil-A with after school on Fridays, but God sees your whole football team, your whole volleyball team, your whole wrestling team, your whole campus, come on, your whole locker rooms. It sees your friends groups and your classes and this class. I know that you think it's just a chess club, but God can do so much more, because when you build that foundation, when you wake up and make your lunch every day and you prepare for the things that God wants to do, he has no choice but to multiply it. He has no choice but to give exceedingly, abundantly, more than you can ask, think, or imagine. I know you're just one college student among 32,000, but the things that God can do when you present a foundation to him, he will multiply it. He will grant you more than you know. Is there anyone who believes in here this morning that God can do more through you than you ever thought? And I'm talking to teachers too. Teachers that you've been teaching for 15 years already and you've never seen God do anything. This can be the year because you've prepared. And you know what this story teaches us? Is that many people eat off the hard work of few. I hope you catch that this morning. Many people eat off the hard work of few. And if we want to see this city and this region and this state and our country and this world that we're praying for be shaken by the glory of God, it's going to take a few people to say, I'm anticipating God to do something amazing. I'm preparing for God to do something great. I'm building a foundation for him to move and shake. And I'm going to watch him multiply his glory, multiply hope, multiply faith, multiply safety, multiply comfort, multiply goodness, multiply favor. God, have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Father, we just give it all to you. We pray, have your way. God, wherever people are this morning in their walk with you, whether people are changing their mentality to anticipate the goodness of God, anticipate hope and glory, God, I just pray that you help them to change their mentality, change their heart, so they would anticipate God. And for those who are already anticipating, God, give us the strength and endurance to prepare for the preparation of what you are about to do. God, I pray that you would give us the strength and stability, the discipline, the desire, and the delight for the plans that you have set before us, God, that we would wake up early and make our lunch because we know it affects so much more. So much more, God. God, and we give you our foundation. Give you our foundation. And we say multiply. Multiply. Multiply for this school year, for parents, grace and patience, for teachers to be influencers, to speak into students' lives. God, the school district may think that we're just here to teach mathematics, health, science. No, 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 no. It's just a gateway for the love of Jesus to be shared. Students, I know that you'll face things where people are going to say that it's weird that you don't curse. It's weird that you don't celebrate football game victories on Friday nights the same way as other people. I know that it's weird that you would rather go to FCA in the morning than maybe just go get breakfast or go shoot hoops. Why do you do that? Come hang out with us on Sunday nights, and then I got Promised Land High. Why do you go there? That's you preparing the foundation. I'm praying that God takes the foundation that you're preparing and he multiplies it. And your reach and your influence and your power from the Holy Spirit will do far more than you ever think to ask or imagine. I pray that over every person in this room, God, that you would give us a new, fresh perspective on this year. You would bless every teacher, student, parent, faculty, and staff. In Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand clap this morning.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Emilio. He didn't know I was coming up. He's like, what are you doing? I have a special announcement that I want to make sure you get before you leave here today. And actually, I'm going to give it two. One is, if you're a Texas State student, I want to make sure all the Bobcats check in. Why don't you head out to the table right now and get ready? They have donuts. We know that Bobcats like eating donuts. So we want to make sure we connect with you. We have small groups for students and other hangouts and things like that for Bobcats. So we're so thankful to have all of you here. And that leads me to the announcement that I want to come up here and interrupt about. We are having tonight a small group leader rally. And Emilio's wife is the one organizing it and getting it all together. And she's done a fantastic job. We're going to do it up on our hill up at the top. So if you're a small group leader, we want to make sure you get here tonight at 6:30. We have childcare provided. If you have kids, you can drop them off in the student center. Yes. And then if you don't have kids, you can just take this side road and go all the way up to the top. We're going to have tacos out there, street tacos and fun. And we're going to just cast vision for this semester of small groups. You might be in here and you're just thinking about leading a group, brand new idea that I'm sowing into you right now. We would love to have you join us tonight, just as an exploratory type of non-committed, just I'm interested kind of a thing. And we'll present to you what small groups look like, how to do it, give you ideas. And so it'll last hour and a half. But bring a lawn chair, dress comfortably because it's outside. But it's a beautiful, beautiful venue. So we can't wait to do that. Thank you so much for being here today. What a great crowd. And we're excited about students going back to school and making an impact. So you are dismissed. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. We love you so much. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.